Friend, please help Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry by supporting the cost to produce Spirit-Filled Radio and Podcast for this current fiscal year. You can become a partner with Spirit-Filled Hearts by donating monthly. Your contributions make a difference in the lives of all those who listen to our radio shows and podcasts. Thank you for your support. Go to spiritfilledhearts.org and click on the donate button. That's spiritfilledhearts.org.
Welcome back to the 32nd iThirst follow-up. Let's begin with a prayer. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So we're speaking about the divine mercy, and this is a most beautiful devotion. And even though our Lord said to St. Faustina that I want this feast of the divine mercy to be on the Sunday after Easter Sunday, here really everything was already contained. You know, it wasn't a completely new feast, because if you read all of the readings from before the apparitions of the Divine Mercy, you'll see that in Low Sunday, or you can say Dominica in Albis, that is the Quasimodo Sunday, or the Sunday after Easter, the reading already has blood and water in it. It's really amazing. So Jesus, he never changes anything. This is an important thing to really see. He has already given us everything from the beginning. And then what happens throughout history is it just becomes clearer and clearer, right? So Jesus gave us the entire deposit of the faith, as we said at this talk. And then we just clarify it by really just honing in on it more and more and more. And so the divine mercy has always been the theme of the Sunday after Easter. And if you really think about it, St. Thomas, when he was not present on Easter Sunday in the upper room and all the other apostles were there, he did not see our Lord on Easter Sunday. And then when he came back to the upper room, then he heard all of the apostles, his best friends, he heard Our Lady say, "We saw our Lord. He was just here in the upper room, the room that we did the first Mass. This was where the first Mass was, in the upper room." And St. Thomas said, "I don't believe, I don't believe, I don't believe, I don't believe any of you," right? This is a serious sin, right? To say this, of course, to the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Peter, and all your friends, and St. Mary Magdalene, who all of them saw Jesus on Easter Sunday, except St. Thomas. And so then for that entire week, we see the disbelief of St. Thomas. He is not believing anything of what the Blessed Virgin Mary says, of what all his best friends, the apostles, said. And for that entire week until the next Sunday, it's called Low Sunday because, of course, Easter Sunday is the big, 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 big high Sunday. And then we have Low Sunday, the capping off of the Easter octave, you know, the beautiful eighth day, the day of perfection. And then we see that St. Thomas was up there in the upper room, and then our Lord walks through the doors. He doesn't need to open them. They're locked, and he just walks through the locked doors. He says, "Peace be with you." And then he turns right to St. Thomas. And the thing that St. Thomas asked for, he basically said, "I will not believe unless I put my hands in his hands and my hands into his side." The very thing that he asks for in his hardened pride and in his lack of humility and his lack of trust, the thing that he asks for, our Lord immediately turns to him after he says, "Peace be with you," right? Because St. Thomas would have caused a lot of friction, right, in that week, right? And so he says, "Peace be with you." And then he immediately turns to Thomas and says, "I'm going to give you everything you want because I want to have mercy on you," right? And so the theme of beautiful mercy is all throughout Low Sunday. St. Thomas is shown this immense mercy to be able to stick his fingers into the holes of Christ's hand and to stick his hand into the very hole of Christ's side. And this is a mercy that is immeasurable. And St. Thomas didn't deserve it. Who was praying for him the whole time? Of course, Our Lady and the apostles, and Our Lady's prayers are the prayers that really made our Lord, right, grant St. Thomas' request, because Our Lady was praying, I want St. Thomas to have faith, right? I want St. Thomas to believe. And so then this is why our Lord then, of course, is able to guide St. Thomas' hand. And of course, St. Thomas' hand would have been shaking like this, right? When our Lord said, put your hands in my hands, right? You asked for it. And so his hand must have been shaking. He must have felt so much sorrow, so much contrition in his mind and his heart, and all the while just being showered with pure mercy. That's the whole thing. And then, of course, we have the beautiful wound of Christ's side, his transfixed side. And this is, of course, where the blood and water come from. And this is all divine mercy. This is all pure mercy. And so our Lord really highlights this, and we need the divine mercy in this last age of man, right? We know that this is the last age of man because of obviously our Lord, just as the saints and the fathers of the church say, right? The Lord came to us in the second to last age, right? And then now we're in the last age, and then he comes again, right? We just don't know how long the last age is going to be, but we're in the last age because our Lord comes in the sixth age, and then the seventh age is here, and then after that's finished, then our Lord is going to come in the clouds to judge everybody. So it's all going to be finished, right? And so here we see that we are just in this age, this last age of man, where we need God's mercy. And this is constantly what was said to Saint Faustina, that if you just implore my divine mercy, and especially at the hour of death, this is when the divine thief comes, right? And when Satan has their or his clutches in that soul, the divine thief comes when we just pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, when we ask for God's mercy, and the soul is just snatched out of Satan's hands and it's taken to God. You know, it's taken to purgatory. You know, most of us go to purgatory, and then after that, right, to heaven. And so we see the power of divine mercy, that God just loves us so much that all that we have to do is just turn to his mother. We just have to turn to his Sacred Heart. And we see that indeed, you know, a lot of people, they really will associate here the divine mercy with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we have to really see that connection, right? The devotions of the church, they're all united. And just as St. Margaret Mary said, we hear our Lord's words to St. Margaret Mary that you should never, ever doubt the power of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You know, here we can never doubt the power of God's Sacred Heart. It's the heart of God that loves us so much. And this is what our Lord says. All grace flows from mercy, and the last hour abounds with mercy for us. Let no one doubt concerning the goodness of God, even if a person's sins were as dark as night. God's mercy is stronger than our misery. These words are what everybody needs to hear. And it's so crazy. You know, the devil just wants to warp every kind of thing that's good about God so that people, you know, they have this idea of this, you know, unmerciful God, this God that is just like a watchmaker that, you know, walks away. Or they have this idea of this authoritarian church. But here we see that God is always waiting for us just to come back to him. All that he wants is just us to say, I'm sorry, right? I'm sorry, and I want to do what is right. I want to do your will. That's all that God wishes for us, right? I want to do your will, not what I make up, right? In my own crazy head, right? I want to do what's correct. I want to do what your will is, oh God, right? And when we just say, I'm sorry, we turn to his mercy, then everything will be okay. And so we see one thing alone is necessary, that the sinner set ajar the door of his heart, right? He has to open up his heart, right? He can't just shut it. He has to open it up to God. Okay, be it even ever so little, to let the ray of God's merciful love, right, in, and then God will do the rest. These are such amazing words. And here, when we have this world where, you know, Satan is just really seeing that his time is limited, as we said, it's the seventh age. You know, Satan is really just showing his cards, and he's just really being shameless, right? before he really hid himself, but as we see and now in these times, he is just coming full out blazing. And if you really think about the psychology, this is what happens when somebody is desperate. You know, when somebody is desperate, all the cover is blown. They are just ready to just, you know, just take everything out. Whatever they can take out, they're going to take out, right? They're not going to be careful, as it were. And so in this age, you know, we really see is just everything is on the table with all the things that are fighting against Holy Mother Church from within and without, and all the attacks against human dignity and all the attacks against the family and every single thing where children are, you know, preyed upon and attacked, you know, in the schools or by false, you know, ideologies, etc. You know, Satan is really just showing that he's so desperate. And really, it really shows us that we need God's mercy, especially in this time, to protect us all, protect our families. And we really need to have this beautiful devotion. And what the Divine Mercy especially teaches us is that we have to have this great reverence for the 3 o'clock hour. And so here, this is remembering when Christ died upon the cross. And this is when, of course, the gates of heaven are opened wide for us. And this is where we have to stay at the foot of the cross with Our Lady and just take in all of the mercy that God wants to give to us. And we have to really proclaim this mercy. It's not a different message. It's the same message that Jesus gave us when he spread his arms on the cross, right? Here we have to realize that he already proclaimed his divine mercy. And as St. Faustina says, the greatest attribute of God is his mercy. And here, this is not anything different than what St. Thomas said in the Summa Theologica. In his summary of theology, he proves and he shows that the greatest attribute of God above everything else is his mercy. It's really amazing to see that, you know. And so here we see that even love, when we say God is love, or God is justice, or God is truth, or God is beauty, or God is goodness, right? The highest above even those things, right? Obviously, in God, there is simplicity and everything, but mercy is the highest attribute because it is complete pouring out and it is complete excess, right? It's just overabundant excess of love. That's why even the attribute of mercy exceeds the name of love when we say God is love, because the name of love doesn't have in its notion that excess of just intensity that mercy has. Because here, this mercy, this word mercy, is just, we don't deserve anything, and God still gives us and lavishes us with every grace that we need if we just, again, open our heart a little bit to let in his ray of mercy. And so in this day and age, let's really proclaim God's mercy to all, that they, of course, know true mercy. It's not a mercy that we make up in our heads, right? It's very important to realize that it's God's mercy, which surpasses every kind of mercy that we kind of concoct in our heads, right? It is the mercy that's based on pure truth. It's also a mercy that's based on pure justice, right? Mercy is never opposed to justice. As St. Thomas says, they are two sides of the same coin, right? So mercy is so beautiful, and it is something which is always based upon truth, and this is an important thing. So here we see that God is wanting to just lavish this upon us, and so let's open our hearts to the divine mercy. Amen.
If you're enjoying these podcasts, please consider supporting Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry with a one-time or monthly gift. Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are only funded by generous donors who believe in our mission to evangelize.